Spirit Radio Podcasts.
It's never a nice day when we see pictures on the front pages of our newspapers of children suffering, and sadly we see pictures like these on a regular basis coming from Syria. And I think anybody who sees those pictures might think, you know, this child is no different to my own. It doesn't deserve to be in the middle of a war. But more than one journalist has warned us that children are being used as a propaganda tool in this conflict. And indeed, one even went as far to say that children are being used as a tool to kill more children. So what do we do when we see pictures of children on newspapers and newsreels? The issue is, what are we to actually believe? What's really happening in places like Ghouta, where civilians are reportedly caught up in the fighting today? On the line to give us his thoughts on the situation, we have Dr. Marcus Papadopoulos from the European Centre for the Study of Extremism, joining us from Cambridge in England. Good morning. How are you doing, Marcus?
Good morning, Wendy, and thank you very much for having me on your show.
Well, first of all, before we talk about the current situation in Syria and the monitoring that you've been doing on the reporting from there, tell us a little bit about yourself and indeed the European Centre for the Study of Extremism.
Yes, my specialism is Russia and the rest of the former Soviet Union and the former Yugoslavia. And ever since, or almost since day one of that appalling conflict in Syria, I have been speaking about what that conflict is really about and challenging the narrative being put out by Western governments and Western media outlets. In regard to the European Centre for the Study of Extremism, I sit on its advisory board. It was set up nearly 2 years ago by a former senior lecturer at the University of Cambridge, a doctor, Makram Khoury Makou. It was set up to try and understand the origins and nature of extremism, which of course is not just a threat to Britain and Europe, but to the wider world.
In terms of the situation in Syria at the moment, you've been monitoring that, Marcus. What are the main sources of information, what's going on there in terms of what we are seeing here in our newspapers? Where is the information coming from?
Well, it certainly is not coming from the West, especially Britain and America. We need to understand something to do with Syria's history. We need to appreciate that for a long time, Syria has grappled with Islamic fundamentalism. Initially, Islamic fundamentalism was spearheaded in Syria by the Muslim Brotherhood. And indeed, there was an Islamist uprising in Syria prior to the current one. The first one lasted from 1976 to 1982. And that was a very, very brutal conflict, a very brutal uprising. So Syria does have a problem with Islamic extremism. Now, that is something that many politicians and journalists in Britain and America are either ignorant of, or they're just not interested in it, because the reason why the Syrian government, President Assad, and the Syrian military have been demonized, and I use the word demonized carefully, they have been demonized because the Americans and the British and their regional allies, the Turks, the Saudis, and the Qataris, have been trying to overthrow the Syrian government. Why? Because overthrowing the Syrian government would mean an end to Russian influence and power in the Middle East. It would mean Iran would become greatly weakened in the region. Hezbollah would become a spent force. And, of course, Israel would lose its arch enemy in the region, which, of course, is Syria.
In terms of just you presenting this different view, Marcus, what is the motivation then for news agencies or particular journalists presenting a totally different view?
Well, first of all, in Britain and in America, there is no free and independent press. Mainstream media outlets in both countries are very much a part of the British and American establishments, respectively. Indeed, mainstream media in Britain and America is one of the most formidable weapons at Washington and London's disposal to use in order to justify their geostrategic objectives around the world. However, that narrative is being challenged. It is being challenged by people who are very familiar with Syria, very familiar with the Syrian people. And of course, people like myself and others today in 2018 have a platform. We have a platform because there is alternative media outlets like your radio station. And there is also social media, Twitter and Facebook principally. Now, that is something that was lacking throughout the 1990s. And the 1990s was a very, very dangerous time for the world. And it set a precedent for what the Americans and the British are doing today in Syria. Because what the Americans and the British are doing today in Syria and what they did in Iraq and Libya has its roots in the former Yugoslavia, with how the Americans and the British supported secessionist movements in Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia, and Kosovo. But that people like myself weren't able to challenge the British and American governments in the 1990s over what they were doing in the former Yugoslavia because there was no alternative media. There was no social media. So today, even though Western media is still the dominant force, it doesn't have the field to itself any longer. It is being challenged and it has become a weakened force.
One of the stories, or something that seems to be a real regular feature when the Syrian army is making advances, is to hear allegations that they are using chemical weapons on civilians. Are these latest ones from Ghouta to be taken seriously?
Let me just clarify something. The Syrian army, indeed the Syrian Air Force and the Syrian Navy, is comprised of all the different ethnic and religious groups in Syria, from Sunnis to Alawites to Christians to Druze to Armenians to Maronites. That Syria is a mosaic of different cultures, and the Syrian Arab army reflects that totally. Now, the Syrian army has not targeted, in 7 years of this dreadful conflict, its own people. It has targeted Islamist, Wahhabist terrorists. No way would the Syrian army target its own people. Why would it target its own people? I'm not saying that individual Syrian soldiers haven't committed war crimes. Naturally, they have. You tell me an army throughout history whose soldiers have not committed war crimes. Every army in history has done that. But the key thing is that the Syrian high command has never given an order to target civilians. Now, in regard to these spurious allegations of the Syrian army using chemical weapons in East Ghouta, number one, at the beginning of 2014, the United Nations confirmed that Syria no longer has chemical weapons. Secondly, the Syrian army in 2013, when the Wahhabist terrorists were on the outskirts of Damascus, did not use chemical weapons. If they didn't use them when Damascus could have fallen, why would they use them in 2018 when the Syrian army is on the threshold of a remarkable victory in this conflict? Secondly, why would the Syrians give the Americans and the British and NATO a pretext to attack them? They know that any use of chemical weapons would initiate another American air attack, as happened last year. But most importantly, the people in the Syrian army are fighting to liberate East Ghouta from al-Qaeda occupation. The people of East Ghouta have been occupied by al-Qaeda groups since the end of 2012, and they have suffered immeasurably because of that. They have been executed. They have been raped. They have been sold into slavery. And the people in East Ghouta are praying for deliverance. They are praying for their soldiers to come and liberate them. And I would add this as well. Large parts of East Ghouta have already been liberated. And have you seen the footage? Have you seen the inhabitants of East Ghouta have been liberated, dancing, singing, praying in the streets, greeting the Syrian soldiers, waving the Syrian flags? and saying about their terrible suffering at the hands of these Wahhabist terrorists who have been occupying them for 6 years.
For people who are listening at the moment, Marcus, and you know they're very confused naturally when they hear the information you're giving, when they think of the information that they have seen in our news media. But one thing that certainly we can all be in agreement on is that Irish people listening now, they want peace in Syria. Is there anything that Irish people and indeed the Irish government can do? Can we exert any influence to help bring about peace in Syria?
What I would say to the ordinary Irish person listening to this interview is listen to what the different Christian denominations in Syria are saying and have been saying since day one of this conflict. Please listen to the Catholic bishops, to the Orthodox bishops there, to the Protestant bishops. They will tell you the reality of who the Americans and the British are supporting in Syria. They will tell you about the, you know, large numbers of churches and monasteries which have been destroyed, which have been defiled by these Wahhabist terrorists backed by London and Washington. They will tell you that Christians serve in large numbers in the Syrian military. They will tell you that President Assad and the Syrian government is the guardian of the 2.5 million Christians who live in Syria. They will tell you about numerous cases where Christians have been slaughtered, have been persecuted by the Wahhabist terrorists backed by the Americans and the British. Let me cite you one example. Mooloolah, a town just outside of Damascus, an ancient town where the people there speak the language of Jesus Christ, Aramaic. Now, a few years ago, al-Nusra and the so-called Free Syrian Army, the Free Syrian Army, who the British and the American government publicly admit to backing, the Free Syrian Army and al-Nusra took over Mooloolah from the Syrian army. And during the occupation, a brief occupation, but nonetheless a brutal occupation of Mooloolah, both groups, including the Free Syrian Army, murdered Christians in Mooloolah. They desecrated churches in Mooloolah. They shot to ribbons priceless icons in Mooloolah. And eventually the Syrian army, helped by Hezbollah, liberated Mooloolah. So I would say to ordinary Irish people, please listen to what Christians and their bishops and the archbishops are saying about the true nature of the people that the Syrian army is fighting against.
We'll have to leave it there. Dr. Marcus Papadopoulos, thank you so much for joining us on the programme this morning. It is so important that we hear a different perspective on the current situation in Syria. As Dr. Papadopoulos said there, one thing that we have to be aware of is just how few institutions control so much of the world media. And Dr. Marcus Papadopoulos is from the European Centre for the Study of Extremism. That's why it's so important that we have independent broadcasters like Spirit Radio.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.